Today on Real Life Radio.
God expects us, Jesus expects us, to know what time it is on the prophetic time clock. No one's exempt from the invitation to know these things. The responsibility is placed upon your shoulders and mine to take up the Word of God and to know what time it is biblically.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, really excited to let you guys in on a great book that is written by Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson. And here is the title. Are you ready for it? It's a big one. The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times. It is a great book. This book will walk you through those tough things about Bible prophecy and how simple they can really be when you answer the Bible with Bible.
A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 4. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 21, we'll consider the real Jesus of the Bible. You see, the real Jesus of the Bible is the true Messiah, honest, practical, trustworthy, and wants us to be ready for the future, not falling for false prophets or other so-called messiahs, but always looking up and always looking ahead. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack says that for the Christian, being ready is to walk in the light of the truth of the Bible. Being ready is a discipline that will prevent us from being deceived. Now, with his message called, What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible warns us over and over again that in the last days, there will be false Jesuses. There will be fake Jesuses, false gospels. Other gospels that will blanket the world with deception. And that's important because 2,000 years ago, Jesus' disciples asked him, what would be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered them in a quite remarkable way. By the way, listen to their questions. It's actually one question that is delivered with three questions lodged within it. They came asking him about the end times. It's more vividly recorded, though we are in Luke 21, just stay there, but in Matthew 24, it's the same account. Matthew records it this way. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, asking him, listen, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the indicators regarding the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Jesus gives a warning and an instruction about the advent of the last days, and they'll be tainted with false messages regarding heaven and hell and spirituality and who is God and what is God and who is Christ. And so in these last three studies, we've been looking at these three things regarding the points. And today, as I said, this would be the fourth one. But the first thing we looked at in Luke 21 was found in verses 5-9. And it was this, that God expects us, Jesus expects us, to know what time it is on the prophetic time clock. No one's exempt from the invitation to know these things. The responsibility is placed upon your shoulders and mine to take up the Word of God and to know what time it is biblically. We are to know this. It matters how we invest our lives and into what? Do we know the Bible? In verse 6 of chapter 21, Jesus said, these things which you see, in the days will come in which one stone shall not be left upon another. Jesus prophesied that in the year 70 AD, that the Roman legion would come into Jerusalem and destroy the temple. And from that invasion of the Roman Empire in 70 AD, Jesus said, watch for that. It will start a clock ticking, and that end time scenario that he gives in Luke chapter 21 will go all the way out to the second coming of Christ. We looked at this also. Point number 2 was that he expects you and I to discern the signs of the times. Jesus said in verse 10, nation will rise against nation. Do you remember what that word nation means? It's going to be increasingly more important to you and I in our day and in our culture. The word means ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group, and political kingdoms will war against political kingdoms on a global scale. There will be great famines in various places of the world, and pestilence and earthquakes and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs in the heavens above, Jesus said, as they approach the last days. Those are things that we are, even in our time zone now, beginning to move into to see. There are such things as global wars. There is an increase in ethnic wars. And Jesus said there's going to be famines and pestilence that will threaten the very existence of mankind. And then the third thing we saw last time together is that the real Jesus Christ expects you and I to be looking ahead. The believer should never be looking down. The believer should always be looking up and ahead. You and I are the only ones in all of this world that have absolute assured hope. You and I are the only ones that have something to say. Remember that? We've got something to say. We're not just saying something. We've got something to say. And that is, the Lord God of the Bible has given us his word that we might know the future. For what reason? Well, most importantly, that we might discern the times, and in the midst of all of it, be able to tell people and share with them about the reason, about the faith, and about the hope that we have as believers. The believer, the Christian, should never have his face hanging down, but always looking up and looking ahead. And he said in verse 26 last time that in those days that will advance. Now, this moves out now beyond our time, yet future. We don't know if this is next year, 10 years, 100 years. Jesus says there's going to come a time, verse 26, when men's hearts will fail them for fear. People will begin to have heart attacks because of the expectation of those things that they see coming upon the earth. My goodness, he said that 2,000 years ago. And people are panicking today, and it's increasing. And for the powers of the heavens, they shall be shaken. And then they will see, and this is the second coming of Christ, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then now, mark it down, Bible students. Here's our fourth and closing point. It is this. It's found in verse 36. Watch, therefore, Jesus said. Now, pay close attention. Watch, therefore, and pray always. Why? That you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Church, that's good news. That's amazing news. So church, write it down. Here's our fourth point as we look to verses 29 to 38. Jesus Christ, the real Jesus of the Bible, expects you to be ready and to be ready right now. Follow along with me. Then he spoke to them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happen, the word means beginning to happen, as you see the page beginning to turn, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you that this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come upon them as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he, Jesus, was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mount called Olivet. And then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. This last closing verse there in verse 38 announces to us that we are in the last final hours of the life of Jesus Christ on earth, that he has lived for 33 and a quarter years. He's nearing the time that he'll go to the cross. And next week we'll pick that up, by the way, in chapter 22 as we head to the cross. But right now, church, I'm going to want you to pay attention to these verses because they are very, very much important for our lives today. Why? Because he expects you and I to be ready. But how do we get ready? And who are the ones that are ready to meet the Lord at any moment? Why does he expect you and I to be ready? Because, church, jot it down, number one, because being ready causes you and I to walk in the truth. This is vitally important, to walk in the truth. Look at verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Now, you guys all remember what a parable means, but if you're visiting, let me say it again. Parable. Para is alongside. Para. Jesus is going to speak an illustration that will not land inside their head or inside their heart. That's not what he does. God made you to use your brain. And so he speaks to them a parable. Para, alongside, he casts the truth. Imagine you being a big fish and you're just swimming there and a lure lands right alongside your head as a fish. Though it's to para alongside balos, parabolos, parable, to cast. He casts the truth, it lands alongside your head. He will never force you to bite the bait. He'll never force you to take it. He presents it to you. You right now have got to be willing to take it. God will never force you into heaven or hell. You will decide. Jesus throws out the truth and you will accept it or you will reject it. And so he throws out this truth and it's a warning as it is an instruction. And he says, look at the fig tree. And for that matter, look at all trees. When they're already budding, that means you're well into spring now, if they're budding. That means they've already leafed. They've got leaves and the blossoms are beginning to open up. He says, you see and you know for yourselves personally that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happen, again, the word in Greek means begin to happen. When you begin to see indicators that speak of these last day global events, know that the kingdom of God is approaching. This is an amazing thing. Now the fig tree in the scriptures, the book of Hosea, by the way, the book of Jeremiah, and I'm not going to spend much time on this. I'm just going to state it. The fig tree in the Old and New Testament is a symbol of the nation of Israel. So it's an interesting thing that Jesus is saying. He says, when you see the fig tree, everybody back then 2,000 years ago would have said, oh, he's talking about Israel. And all trees, speaking about the nations of the world. There's going to be a time, Jesus said, now this is awesome, in the last days, that all the nations of the world will coexist with the nation of Israel. That is new since 1948. That is true since 1948. Jesus says in the last days, there'll be Israel and all the nations of the world. And when you see that, know this, that it's like those trees, those nations are beginning to put forth signs and indicators that my return is near. Global debate, global wars, global interaction, a global world, while Israel is in existence again. 3 John, the epistle of 3 John chapter, well, it's one chapter, 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4 says right there, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's the heart of a pastor. That's the heart of John. That's the heart of Jesus. Listen, what you want to do in these last days to be ready and to stay ready is to walk in the truth, to be on guard against what's a lie, to be on guard against that which is false. That's why you need to know the Bible more than ever. With all the things that are pulling for your attention, you'll never walk in truth unless you're in the word more, more, more in the Bible, more in the Bible. Knowing God's word, God's truth, it brings light to your life. Walking in truth is this, that the Christian would be one living and functioning through this world and in this world, in the word of God, the revealed word of God. That's how you walk in truth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. How is it that the Christian, the real Christian, makes a difference in this world? Listen, we cannot help but make a difference in this world because we walk in truth. It's not us doing it. It's the truth in us. It's the truth coming out of us that does it. That's Matthew 5:14. But did you know what Jack 1:1 says? Jack 1:1 says, you are human flashlights in this world. A real Christian cannot be disguised. That's what that means. Everywhere you and I are walking around, we're just beaming the light of God. That's what the believer does wherever we go. We walk into a room, and by our words, by our actions, by our attitude, things change. For what motive? For what reason? Walking in that truth, one of those things, one of those aspects of walking in the truth of God, and that is walking in the light of God, is that others might know him. In these last days, that others might know him, that through our lives, people might come to know Jesus. Check this verse out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Great verse. It says, do all things without complaining and arguing. I told you, hey, listen, write it down. Mom and dad, write that verse down for your kids. Do all things without complaining and arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without blame in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in this world, holding fast the word of life. That's the Christian. How fun is that? A moment ago, we prayed for these soldiers as they go out into the world. You know what? Wait a minute. In a moment, you're going to be dismissed from this sanctuary and you're going to go out into the world as soldiers for Christ. Oh, not to conquer and to launch a crusade and to do that. No, no. The kingdom that we follow, the war that we fight is in the spirit. And we fight against principalities and powers, against demonic forces. Why? To get those who are lost to come into the truth of God, that is into the light of God, that they might know God. Amen. The kingdom that we fight for does not respond to bombs and things like that. It's a spiritual world.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And to walk in the light is to walk in the truth of God. And to walk in the truth of God is to walk in the light. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Come and let us walk in the light of the Lord." The Bible says that it is the Lord that brings illumination to our understanding. The Bible says that if you don't know God today, that you're walking in darkness, spiritual darkness. You're in the dark. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. This is a great verse. 1 John 1, 6. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Notice the truth and the light cannot be separated because they are absolutely co-equal. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is in fact truth. The Bible also says that God is light. You can't separate the two. And so the scripture says that if we're walking in darkness and not in the light, we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. But verse 7 of 1 John 1 says, "But if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins." What an awesome verse. Look at that. That's fantastic. Why is that important? Because look, as you look to the screen, the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's the amazing thing. 1 John was written to Christians. He didn't write it to non-believers. 1 John, when you study 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he writes to believers only. Non-believers are not supposed to read 1 John, 2nd or 3rd John. It's not for them. They don't get it, and the promises there are not for them. But if you are a believer, John is speaking to you. Now watch this. Are you born again? Jesus says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you given your life to Christ? Are you trusting him? You are in the family of God. That being true, when that verse says that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. If you're a Christian today and you are not walking in the light, you are backslidden. Have you ever heard that term before? You're backslidden, meaning that you belong to God, but you're not walking with God. Church, answer this. Where is God? Okay, we'll edit that out of the tape. The answer is in the light. So ready? Where is God? You guys are so smart. I'm very impressed. God's in the light and he stays in the light because he is light, and wherever he goes, there's light. You and I can be a believer and wander off into the darkness. You know, when Bubbles calls and says, "Hey, what are you doing tonight, strong man?" Pulling you off the path. Whatever it might be, could be your thought life, could be your actions, whatever. The Christian's going down the path. He's moving onward with Jesus. And ever so slightly, isn't it true? Ever so slightly, we begin to wander off. And we don't even notice. Have you noticed how the light changes spiritually? And then all of a sudden, we wake up and we're in the dark. Sometimes we have to get kind of slapped around like this as a believer. We wander off the path. We're not walking with God. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's a month. Maybe it's years. Maybe we're even like holding out on God. "I'm not going back to church until you do what I want you to do." Kind of holding God hostage. "That Sunday school teacher hurt my feelings, so I'm going to take it out on you, God," like he had something to do with it. And all of a sudden, because God loves you, doesn't the Bible say that the Lord rebukes and chastens all those who belong to him? And that the Bible says if you are not being corrected by God when you do something wrong, you are not one of his children. For those of us who know what it's like to be one of his kids, when God spanks us, remember, he gets our attention. Sometimes it takes a spanking. Could be an incident, could be an accident, could be something where we wake up and say, "I'm far from God. Wasn't it with Jonah that it took a great fish to swallow him, to wake him up? I'm far from God. Could be an accident in your life. Could be a sickness that gets your attention. And like the prodigal son, you say, I need to go back home. And you come out of the darkness and the believer runs back to the light. What does God do? Stay out there. Oh no. He opens up the door. You can see almost the kingdom radiating its light as you run toward it, can't you? But when he disciplines us, you know when God is disciplining us. And you know when the world disciplines us. The world disciplines us this way. It comes down on us and crushes us. It's called condemnation. It kills us, crushes us. You big loser. Yeah, I know I am. You'll never amount to anything. God can't stand you. He loves everybody in the world but you. Yeah, that's right. That's the world. God doesn't hit you like this. God is amazing. He always comes back this way and hits you this way. Catches you right there in the, keister. He said it. I didn't. He said it right there, front row. Whatever that word means, he said it right there, keister. And God spanks you like this, and when he connects with you in the hand of discipline, it always picks you up. You may be down, but when he picks you up, it causes you to get back on your feet again. It's pretty amazing. When God spanks his kids, it's always to bring them back. He's amazing. And you start walking in the light again. The greatest thing for you to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ at any moment, be it that you die today or that you get called up to heaven today, the greatest thing is that you be walking with him in fellowship and that you understand that his truth will keep you ready. Amen. Like never before. It will save your life. Now listen to this, very important. It's the issue that Jesus is stressing is that the believer can tell, can recognize the season. Now the Bible is very clear that the scripture declares that no man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return. And I'm glad. But the Bible says concerning the times and the seasons, you'll know. Isn't that awesome? That's exactly, that dovetails perfectly into what the Lord is teaching us here. You say, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, I'm going to answer that in a second. You'll read it with me in a second. But before I go to that verse, have you ever had someone ever say to you, I don't need to know those kinds of verses in the Bible, and I don't need to go through this part of the gospel because he's coming like a thief in the night anyway. Has anyone ever told you that? My Bible doesn't say that in the context that you mean. So what do you mean? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that he comes as a thief in the night to the believer. It says that he's going to come as a thief in the night to the unbeliever. Did you know that? Did you know that the true believer will begin to feel, discern, sense, recognize the times and the seasons of his coming? Not the day or the hour. See, where's that verse? I knew you would ask. That's why you're going to see it here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, beginning at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly. Watch it. Get your highlighter ready. That the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Ask the question. For whom? Verse 3. For when, what does it say? They say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon who? Them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Look at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because, look, verse 5. You are all sons of light. Sons of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Isn't that awesome? Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God enough that you can look around at the world scene and understand, hey, you know what? We're living at times, it's never been as late as it is now concerning God's prophetic clock. We've never lived this day before. We're closer than ever.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio with his message called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 4. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. What is the ultimate point and purpose of Bible prophecy? Is it to scare us or prepare us? There's a special book by the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley and Tom Hampston, that breaks it all down and makes it real simple, answering questions like, why are there different interpretations of prophetic Bible scriptures? How do we know which is correct? When it comes to symbolic prophecies, how do we decide to interpret them literally or metaphorically? The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times simplifies difficult and confusing aspects of last day's prophecy using easy-to-understand language, diagrams, images, and statistics. If you've ever been unsure about the purpose, the context, or timeline of end times prophecy, let the Prophecy Pros put your mind at ease with this practical and informative guide. A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.